probably 80% of our installs we do on the same day. And we have several crews that can complete two HVAC installs in a day, especially with our package units. But the average install from top to bottom now complete is 0.75 days. We've cut that in half. So because they're able to do double, we pay them much more. And that's because they understand, like, we're a high performance environment. We want you to work twice as hard so we can pay you twice as much. And they're cool with that. We just hit the heat season. And my install manager came to me and said, I've got installers lining up on a waiting list to work on Sunday.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, along with my good old friend, Chatty P. Chatty P, what's up, brother? I see you rocking the Lee's hat today. Why are you rocking a Lee's hat today on this episode?
Well, because we have a very special guest.
We do?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, and that will be Catherine. Catherine.
Hey now, there. Hey there.
Official title, at least. Like, what is the Italian? Are you Presidente? Are you CEO?
I'm the CEO, and Tom is the president.
Okay, you see, and the way I view that is CEO here, Presidente here, just below that role. So Tom, how he's like, yeah, I gave her that. So CEO of Lee's, you guys do HVAC, plumbing, electrical, and roofing. So welcome to the roofing space. You know, Chatty P and I are also in the roofing space. We'll talk a little bit of that later, but welcome to the podcast. Excited to have you on. If our listeners have not come across Catherine on any of the social media platforms, or listen to her speak, or heard about her from her brother, because your brother always says great things about you. Quite the personality, which is what's drawing to you. And sometimes you don't know what the hell she's talking about, and then sometimes you're like, dear God, this girl's brilliant. So, like, the first time I got to meet Catherine face to face was at Home Service Freedom last year when you were on the panel with my wife Anna. And I got to hear you kind of, you know, like, share some of your stories and your experience there. And that's when I was kind of like, oh, okay. Like, she actually really knows a lot of things and is doing some good stuff. So you came, like, we were just talking pre-podcast. You just accepted that role in November of last year to take over Lee's, you know, from your brother, Tom Howard. So you went from Orlando straight to there and just said, let's get down to business, right? Is that how that worked out?
That's exactly how that worked out. Exactly. I left Orlando and then showed up here November 6th.
Got it. And here's what I love. Okay. So on this episode, here's what you're going to hear. A few things. One, that Catherine gives a zero fucks, I think, about what somebody thinks about her. Okay. So there's that. Has no problem speaking her mind. And kind of sharing all the things and being super transparent, which, by the way, I love and is great for this episode, especially because of where you're at today. It makes all that stuff, like, completely okay to chat through, because that's part of the story and the climb, right? Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. But what I also want to accomplish on this episode is getting you out of your brother's damn shadow, right? Because you earn your own, like, you do your own thing. And you've been in this short stint of time that you've been over at Lee's running it, you guys have done some incredible stuff, including one major milestone marker that I want to put out there that I just took a screenshot of to celebrate with you. But what just happened for the first time that your brother couldn't accomplish at least?
In May last month, we made $1 million in EBITDA, over $1 million in EBITDA. And we've never crossed that threshold in 1 month before.
Yeah,
and we're on pace this month to double that.
Atta girl. Well done. I'm excited for you. Good job. So, hey, welcome to the podcast. Excited to have you on here. And, you know, you have an interesting background, a very colorful background, some might say. Not like Chad. Chad grew up a little bit differently, I think, than you did. This is the part where I get to bust Chad's balls a little bit, because he was raised with a silver spoon. But Chad, it's okay. But I'm going to give you a chance to rip into me. You're getting better, by the way, at coming back at me with things. It's just like, your humor is different, so it takes me a minute to catch it.
Yeah, that's all right.
Hey, Catherine, do you want to know what you can probably tell just by looking at Chad? He's a big hip hop fan. One of his nicknames is 22 Savage. You know, that's not the correct, like, 21 Savage, obviously being, you know, Chad's favorite rapper. But if you ever hear him rap, and he'll get to do him on the show one time, that's how he got his nickname, 22 Savage. He's pretty good at it. Can you picture it?
I can.
Oh, yeah.
Full vision.
Chad, you want to give us a little note? A little
I do not.
Okay. All right. Maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe next time.
We'll okay. So God, I love, I can't tell if Chad's face getting a little bit more red, but if it is, I've done my job. So let's do this right out of the gate. And we already talked about how you just came in to lead, Lee's in November of 2023. 2023, but go ahead and just share with the audience for some perspective. Let's don't assume everybody knows who Lee's is, know who you are or your brother. Right. So let's just, Lee's is in Fresno, but let's go ahead and share what size is the business today. You just shared the EBITDA, your EBITDA from May, which is great. But what size is the business today? Like, what's your staffing and what's your staffing look like? So just tell us, where's the business sitting at today, so they know like what kind of leader they're listening to.
Lee's right now today serves from just north of Sacramento through the South Central Valley of California, with our headquarters and our main business being in Fresno, where we do the majority of our revenue in Fresno. We're on pace this year to do around $70 million in revenue. That's a 48% growth rate organically year to date so far. We're just about to participate in maybe some acquisitions, maybe. So then that might change and won't be organic, and we might be bigger than 70 million next week. I don't know. Talk to us then. But that's what we've got going on right now. Mostly heating and air. We've got plumbing. We're adding electrical, roofing, those different things. There, my brother Tom started at this company in 2006. A lot of people don't know this. He started as a helper, sweeping the floors here. And the reason why he ended up in Fresno, this is where our dad was from. This is where we grew up. And we had HVAC in high school. He did at the time. So he started here in 2006, went through college, all of that. And I think he took over Lee's around 2012. I was totally not related to the business during any of this time. We worked for an HVAC company when we were really young. I remember somebody I babysat for, the first company we worked for, came out with like a black floppy disk, and it was QuickBooks for contractors. One of the big black floppy disks with the circle in the middle. And I was like 13 years old. He was like, "Can you write my invoices on it? Do you know how to use a computer?" I was like, "Yeah, I got it." I made $3 an hour. I worked 20 hours a week, wrote my own paychecks, did that. So when Tom took this business over in 2012, Lee's, I think they were small, around $4 million at the time, I think. All the way fast forward, the pandemic hit. I am a mother of four. My oldest is 21. My youngest is 11 today. So I was raising children. I was married in Wisconsin, and I had a network marketing business. I just told you that. So my social media can get a little interesting. It's entertaining. It strategically brings people in on that. And when the pandemic hit in California, I think that all businesses can relate with this, but California especially, Tom was having trouble staffing here. It was a major staffing crisis. And I was, kicking rocks around. I had gone through a divorce, doing network marketing, living my life. And I told Tom, "I'll help." So I came on as a CSR. I'm pretty sure Tom paid me minimum wage. And even though everyone else was making more, for some reason, he was like, "No, that's fine for you." with that. And I learned all the processes, systems here in the call center, accounting, HR, payroll, and went to Armenia and opened the 24-hour support center that we have there. During the pandemic, I did that in 2022. And Lee's continued to grow. Tom works full-time with Service Titan, helping other contractors grow at the rate that he was able to help Lee's grow. And he got them all the way up to last year. I believe they did around $50 million here at Lee's. This is what I have right now. We'll do over $70 million this year. I took over in November because, like a lot of other HVAC companies, 2023 was a rough year. Marketing really started ticking down. I believe that's just a reflection of inflation rising faster than our target market, who are homeowners, American homeowners. Their wages are not rising as fast as inflation. So we've noticed a major shift in consumer purchasing behavior, especially our consumers who are watching their bank accounts, who are watching their interest rates, who are watching their loans and their financing. And 2023 was rough when supply is down on the leads and demand is up, because there's so many companies, especially in the private equity space now, trying to compete for these leads. We had to get creative. We had to strategically change our sales systems, our marketing, our operations, everything from the top to bottom. Between where I've gone from Armenia and come back, I worked in Vegas for some time and now back to California, being able to come in November after September and October, which were Lee's worst months in company history. I always say Tom lost more money in September and October. You go, why me? What, Lee's lost more money? But I'm adamant that Tom lost the most money. In September and October 2023, HVAC in California took a hit those months. I think everyone can relate with that. And it was up to us as entrepreneurs to participate in creative thinking, to inspire our staff to be high performers and grow to the best versions of themselves and have them sign on to our vision to creating a business, a healthy organization that's going to be sustainable for 40 more years and be able to provide essential services that Americans depend on, like heating and air and clean water for the next 40 years. And we've been able to turn that ship around here, and I'm really proud of that.
That was a hell of an intro.
All right. We're in business.
You were telling a story. Hang on, Chad, because I got a great segue here that I've been waiting to do. And you just like put a pretty little bow on it for me, Catherine. But in all what you just said, I heard a lot of things. And by the way, I heard you drop in the Vegas stuff too. And that was the stuff with Brent and with your brother and Jerry, right?
Yes.
Okay. Different company, not least, but brother's still involved with that one. But what I hear is a story of resourcefulness, right? Because you got to figure shit out, especially when you're in the business and you can't figure things out on the fly. And also being resilient. And some good leadership and good like mental fortitude. Now I wonder where maybe some of this foundational things like came from for you. Like maybe how did I learn some of these things? How did I learn to kind of stick up for myself, you know, be resourceful, be resilient. And could it be from the 5 felonies that you got and the time when you got locked up? What in the hell is all that about?
Like, yeah, the prison definitely builds character. Definitely, for sure. Builds some sort of routine, things like that. You've got to be strong character. But actually, somebody just asked me recently that we do business with that kind of learned of my history. And he was like, so do you and Tom have like different dads or something? And I was like, no. Why do you say that? Like, me and Tom, we're my mother's only 2 children, and we do have the same father, as far as we know. That's what they've been telling us. And he said, well, I don't know. Your life just seems a little different. And I said, well, you know what? That's because, like, you all don't know about Tom's life. Like, we had the whole same life getting up to this point, and it was the exact opposite of a silver spoon. And I won't go into the whole thing, but we were very, very poor. So I told Tom recently, I said, just remember that I built a $1 million business before you did. And he looked at me funny. I said, if you check my federal indictment, they said we trafficked more than $1 million worth of cocaine. And he was like, you're right about that. I let him know, you know, like the taxation, the regulation, you know, it's not a profitable business. There's no value at the end. They're giving you 0x and they're taking everything. It was a terrible idea. I was very young, but I think I've always been this way, that if I need something, I'm going to go out and get it. And when I was young and confused and raised in poverty, I thought, well, maybe selling drugs was the way to do it. And that was a really hard life. And, you know, going to prison is never fun. And it definitely builds a strength from inside that you've got to learn to take care of yourself. Tom went in the separate direction, right? You hear this a lot. 2 kids, same parents. Tom decided to get under the water and go on a religious mission and participate in college and all of these things, you know. And kids that came from where we came from, I think my path is actually much more common. Fortunately, I did spend my time in prison. I was like the greatest little inmate ever. That's a strong believer that high performance. And I came out stronger, much, much stronger. And part of that, I think, too, is when you're in entrepreneurship, where that was one of my biggest strengths, is that I'm not scared to fail. I'm not scared to lose everything. And I'm not scared to go head to head with someone who thinks they're right when I think I'm right.
Yeah, that's great. So I can see how like you could learn some of those things from being locked up. How long were you in prison?
Which time? No, I'm just kidding. It was 2 times, 36 months altogether.
36 months. And I'm assuming that was quite a while ago.
Yeah, quite a while ago.
Right. But, you know, and this is going to sound like really weird. I wasn't thinking this. As you were telling that story, though, I've thought about, you know, one of my closest friends, when I was, you know, I came out of high school, he did the same thing. Like he kind of went down that path and I didn't. And he was like locked up for 9 years. So he did a lot of shit wrong. But you know what I've learned too about anybody who's kind of been, you know, selling drugs or in that business is they actually, like, if you just focus that same like entrepreneurial spirit and hustle and grind on something that's like legit, there's actually a lot of success there. And so I do have a friend, I won't mention his name, who did do that. Like he got in trouble and he's like, I need to go do something legit. And he built a great business and he just exited from it, you know? And that's awesome to see like that play out. Cause you got like all the right skill set to build the thing. Like, and you got a hell of a lot of risk tolerance too, because that's about as risky as it gets. Cause you got like a major, you know, besides dying, like that's the next like shittiest thing is you're going to get locked up. So I commend you for going through all that and getting out of it. Cause that's like one small little piece of your life. And you have all this other massive chunk to go and live and do good shit. So you're using it in the right way, which I think is super admirable. And I wanted to tell that story, and I'm glad that you're open to telling that story, because it is part of who you are, but it's also part of what you're implementing is some of those skills and things that you learned about yourself and how you can, you know, lead in different situations. We brought on a guy who was a Green Beret a few episodes back named Scott Mann, and he was talking about leading in chaos, you know, and you learned how to kind of, you know, grow and be, you know, in chaos and learn things in chaos, which would be prison. Who's a little bit, probably, I don't know which one's scarier, going to Afghanistan on those tours or going to prison. I don't know. I mean, this, I guess probably Afghanistan because you die over there. You get shot and die, but you can also die in prison. But regardless, you took these things and did good shit with them, and you're doing really exceptional with it now. And so that's what I want to jump into is when you went into, and by the way, Chad, you can chime in whenever you want to now after this next question. So I give you my permission. But now when you came in November, you know, to start running Lee's, and you've had quick success, that's not that far off. What are some of the things that you did right out of the gate to kind of come in there, set a precedence for things and start to make any adjustments? If anything, like maybe it was just you met with the staff, but like, what did you go in and you start doing to kind of put your own stamp on things and to start to set it in your direction?
If you've been listening to this show, you'll know that I only talk about tools that actually help our team. And BlueOn is definitely one of those. At Peterman Brothers, our techs are using BlueOn every single day. It's become their go-to resource. It really is like having a senior tech in your pocket. They can scan a unit, get all the model data, wiring diagrams, parts, and even troubleshoot with BlueOn's AI. We've seen fewer callbacks, faster fixes, and happier techs. And that's why I'm such a big believer in BlueOn, because it actually works. So do yourself a favor, click on the link in the description and book a quick demo with the BlueOn team to see it in action.
I think when you come into a company that's suffering, like Lee's was when I got here in November, the first thing that you have to address is the culture, because your team is down. They feel like failures. You know, they feel like losers. We feel like as the owners, we feel like we failed, we lost. What's going on? And I think by November 2023, anyone in HVAC in California was like, wow, we're experiencing major shifts and we're going to have to make some changes. So when I got here in November, the culture was very low. We had laid people off for the very first time, layoffs. So by no fault of their own, people who depend on us to provide them a paycheck to feed their families, we weren't able to do that. Something I take really seriously. So I think addressing the culture and announcing that there's going to be major changes was the first thing I did. I did it in the form of a company meeting. I pulled everybody in. I let them know things aren't good right now. And as a team, we're going to make it better. We've had to lay people off, people that depend on us, and that's going to stop right now. And that was my major focus, was making sure they knew I was going to drive revenue so that we could pay paychecks. We were able to offer every single person who was laid off their job back before the first week of December. So they were able to get a paycheck before Christmas. And I think that focus shift with the team and taking it to why we need to drive revenue. I think a lot of owners, a lot of business owners are nervous or hesitant to discuss why profit is important with their teams. But once they understand that, you know, it's the profit that we need in the bank to pay your paychecks, they're a lot more welcoming of your vision and your plan. So really working to turn the culture around and set it in a new direction was the very first thing that I focused on.
And it was well received?
No, never. Never. There's still this day you could probably cut it with a knife. The people who will thank me and pray for me and love me and are grateful for the way we've changed their lives and their families' lives. And there's people who just don't see eye to eye with me.
What do you see? So, you know, you talked in, you know, when you got there, you're laying people off, all of that. Obviously, in the growth path that you're on right now, you gotta have people to do the work. What would you say are kind of the few key things that you guys have been doing, maybe just call it the last 3 months, that have really just been where you've seen this like just exponential growth path? Because I think it'd be interesting to learn, because I don't think everybody's seeing that type of growth. Even still, where, you know, I feel like things are back a little bit. We've got this heat coming in, which is good, but I don't think people are seeing that type of growth. So what would you attribute that to?
It was the change in culture that we did before. And if you come in here today compared to what you walked in November, it's a completely different business. People are happy to be here. People are driving towards our goals, which are increasing revenue profitably. We're having record profit percentages on top of record revenue, on top of record profit dollars. And every single person here is concerned with those numbers. Every single person here knows that they're part of something greater than themselves and that we all get rewarded handsomely on the other side of it. One of our big things that we've noticed that we were able to cut costs in materials. So I made some major changes to our cost of materials and our negotiations and our buyings, but our percentage, labor as a percentage of revenue is up because we're paying more to our people to do the increased volume. And we're saving the money on materials, so we're still having an increased net profit percentage, even gross profit at that level percentage, by paying our people more, decreasing the cost of labor. And, you know, when you pay them more, they work harder. When I got here, they told me the fastest install that they could do from top to bottom was 1.5 days. It would take them a day and a half to do a complete install. And there was no way to do it faster than that. And in California, they cannot do same day installs, Catherine. That's just not possible. If I had a dollar for every time someone told me something wasn't possible that then I showed them was possible, I'd already be rich and not have to work. But they said it wasn't possible. Now we do the majority, probably 80% of our installs we do on the same day. And we have several crews that can complete 2 HVAC installs in a day, especially with our package units. But the average install from top to bottom now complete is 0.75 days. We've cut that in half. So because they're able to do double, we pay them much more. And that's because they understand, like, we're a high performance environment. We want you to work twice as hard so we can pay you twice as much. And they're cool with that. We just hit the heat season and my install manager came to me and said, I've got installers lining up on a waiting list to work on Sunday. Well, he said, what kind of world are we living in? I said, I don't know, but we try to keep them off on Sundays. Because, you know, strategic partners, cranes are going to be more expensive, all of those kinds of things. And we need them to rest. But because they're making so much money, they just want to work. They want to work. They want to work. And I think that's a big thing with who are your employees. A lot of people are like, you know, your whole team will run through a wall for you, Catherine. How do you do that? So I'm very strategic about who I keep around. If you're not on our squad, I love you. I honor you. I respect you. But if we, you know, you can't, you're not on, like, you're not, if you're not with us, you're against us. And so I have a team that understands my goals. They have the same goals. We work together as, you know, as a whole. So we're all part of something greater than ourselves, the whole team, even our HVAC installers in the field.
That's awesome. And, you know, hats off to you for recognizing that that culture and leadership is ultimately what drives results. One question I would have is for you, and mainly because I get this all the time, but working with a sibling, how do you, and, you know, obviously you like to give Tom a hard time, which I think most people do. And we love Tom, but how do you guys kind of split responsibilities? How do you guys kind of interact? How has that been kind of working so closely together and building what you're building?
It's been really great because we come from two polar opposites, where Tom has like more than a decade of experience over here in this industry and had his own growth pattern all the way up to God of Service Titan or whatever his job is over there. With that.
No, take that back. Take that back. We are not giving him the God of Service Titan.
Yeah. He's going to run with that one.
He's like the little leaf over the...
It's so funny because actually, I think you guys were there. It was when I first came back to the United States, because originally I came to the trades, like I'm in network marketing mode and I'm just going to help Tom set this call center up in Armenia, which I went and I did. And then Tom had no idea what I was doing over there because I'm on the other side of the world, just logging in from the computer. So I had moved to Dubai and my mom told on me that I was in Dubai, not at this job Tom had assigned me to in Armenia. So that's when he called me back to Vegas. When I came back to Vegas, I was just going to do the little call center there and then be on my way. I wanted to go to the Philippines and just, you know, hang out on the beach for a while. And I was going to leave. And when I was getting ready to leave Vegas, they asked me to take over HVAC service. And at that moment, Tom was like, oh, wow. Like, Catherine's really going to stick around here. And so I went to the vertical track in Phoenix. If you remember, there was a VIP event out in the pumpkin fields. Do you recall desert. This event?
It was like in the desert. It was actually, yes. Yeah, it was where Rhino X, Chad, it was where Rhino X was the first year. You know what I'm talking about? The desert. You like?
Oh, I'm well something? Aware that our bus ride was just
yes, yes, okay, so you remember, I was there. Tom, this is like my first event. He's like, these are all my friends. And he's, you know, and I'm meeting everyone. And I'm watching this VIP event on stage. And I think that like Chad was on stage and Tom was on stage. I don't know. I remember a few people were on stage and Tommy Mello had the microphone. And he was like, if there's any questions for smart people, they go to Tom Howard. He's like the smartest person I know. And I remember texting my mom. Like, they think Tom's so smart. Like, wow, there's a lot of room here because I'm clearly smarter than Tom. Like, their standard is very low, Mom. I can rise up around here. So I was texting her that from the, you know, from the table in the desert at the pumpkin patch. And at that point in time, I decided, like, I'm going to stick around and work here for some time. And we were in the auditorium in Phoenix. And I asked Tom, where are the women? There's not very many women in here, Tom. Is there a separate conference for them? And he just looked at me, knowing where we come from. We were raised by a single mother who was a professional engineer, graduate of the Purdue University. Yes, yes. So both of our parents graduated from Purdue, and she was one of the first 30 professional female engineers, first 30 members of the American Society of Professional Women Engineers. Now there's hundreds of thousands of them, right? Lots of women become engineers every day. When my mom did it in Indiana, of all places, there weren't very many.
Easy. Easy now.
Her first job as a professional engineer was in South Chicago. It was very difficult for her. We've heard all of these stories, you know, as she's gone up through her life. So when I looked at Tom and said, where are the women? He just looked at me and said, it's pretty bad. That's all he said. I was like, oh, okay. I wonder how bad it is. And then I went on a search to find other women who have risen up and taken leadership positions in this industry. And I found that there's not a lot of them. And a lot of it is systemic. You know, it's just who was in the field, who was doing the jobs, who owned the businesses, and so on. You know, so I thought, wow, you know, I've got a great big mouth and I'm pretty smart, much smarter than Tom. And there's all these businesses out here. Like, you know, maybe I'll stick around and work. And that's when I really, really started. I went to HVAC school right away in Las Vegas on nights and weekends while I was the HVAC service manager at one of the fastest growing, most profitable companies ever. And I did, after I left the call center there, did the call center. I worked in HVAC service for some time and then sales. And so Tom, I'll get back to the original question, has really coached and guided me up until this point. And still every single day I call him whenever I need assistance, but Tom has kind of given me the roadmap. Once I got to HVAC service and went to vertical track, he said, okay. And I stayed on through the sale at Fetchatech and went into sales. And that gave me an opportunity to learn HVAC sales from Brent Buckley. I got to, every time I went into a call, I got to call him. During the call, I got to call Brent. After the call, I got coached by Brent. And so I got very quick crash course. Hey! Very quick crash course in the trades by going overseas and starting a business in the country where I don't speak the language, coming back and doing structuring and designing the call center, managing an HVAC service team, and then working underneath Brent Buckley in sales was an incredible learning experience. And then, so Tom really kind of guides me along that path from afar, and then taking over lease. I probably call you what, like four times a day? Quick calls, like, hey, Tom.
Realistically. I know it's just a BS about stuff that we're laughing about Lee's, but yeah. Yeah, probably two calls a day about business.
So listeners, if you can't tell, we had a surprise guest just hop on. That surprise guest is the second best, and that is Tom Howard, not Catherine.
At least Tom can defend himself a little bit now.
Tom, you don't even know this, but you're getting your ass kicked right now.
I literally Chris sent me a link, said, hey, would you mind coming on? I said, sure. So, well, the person said, nah, just let Catherine have her day, like do her thing.
Yeah.
When I had space in between meetings, and Chris literally takes a picture and texts it to me just now. And I, so I was like, okay, so I log on and I, the first thing I hear out of your mouth, Catherine, is like, well, of course I could do this better than Tom.
I know, right?
Perfect.
That was my big epiphany when Tommy Mello was like, Tom Howard is the smartest man in the room. I'm like, well, they don't know that I'm here, clearly. No one told them yet. And so I thought, if that's the bar, Tom's the highest, I can clearly rise up in the industry. I mean, come on now. So that's where it came from, I think. And then really taking a learning perspective, I have so much that I can learn from Tom and this, you know, as we work as siblings in that way. But one thing that I get a lot, especially like here at Lee's, where people know Tom and we work, they always say, you're the only one that can tell Tom that. Or like when Tom's, you're the only one that will tell Tom he's wrong or something like that, which just confuses me because I'm like, well, he's wrong. Like, wouldn't you tell him that he's wrong? No. Well, I'll do it, you know. And sometimes Tom says, no, Catherine, you're wrong. And we agree to disagree because he just doesn't know that he's wrong yet. And we move forward. That's how it works, Chad.
I think
that's perfect.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them, connect faster, and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Yeah, I think it hurts a lot of companies when people are just afraid to speak up and say, hey, you're wrong. I think at ServiceTitan, when I'm working with Vahe or RR or whatever, like they spend a lot of time telling the team, because there's sometimes when it's Vahe and R, the founders, are fighting, right? Not fighting, but like disagreeing about something.
Right.
And when I got there, like a lot of the executive team would just stop talking. And I didn't realize I wasn't paying any attention to them. But I would usually, you know, mouth off and, you know, give my opinion. Because we're contractors, right? Air conditioning guys, plumbers, whatever. You're used to just saying, no, this is right, that's right, whatever. And then R and Vahe had to spend a lot of time saying, hey, look, like we need you guys. As soon as what they called mom and dad are fighting, like that doesn't mean you get quiet. You need to like voice your own opinions. And I noticed that it really, the more people they got on the team that were willing to do that and push it around and really voice their concerns or whatever, the faster we were able to make decisions as a team and the better decisions we were able to make, because you could hear all the different perspectives. And you know, people get quiet in meetings and they're afraid to tell the boss what they think. You're losing all those opportunities.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Yeah. Tiebreakers.
Yeah.
Well, I think to your point, Catherine, I think just having, and I don't know if you, I'm sure you would agree with this, Tom, but like having someone's perspective from outside, that's not in the grind of just, well, this is how we do it. And you're literally like playing all the same cards that you played before. And it's like that old saying, you're not going to get a different result if you keep doing the same damn things. And so it seems like that's kind of what's happened here. It's like, hey, here's a fresh perspective. What should we do? What needs to change? And how do we make things better?
I think the reciprocal of that is you've got to have that leader that listens to the perspective, right? So like, doesn't always have to agree, but at least listens, hears it out. Is like, you know what? Hey, you're right. Is willing to admit when they're wrong. Catherine's pretty good at that. Like she realizes she's wrong all the time. No, I'm just kidding. But we do go back and forth, and you got to have people that are like willing to just back off. And, you know, if data shows in service time, we have a saying, at least it was on the wall at the old building. It said, in God we trust, all others must bring data. And like, if the data shows that you're wrong, that's fine. It's okay to be wrong and admit that you're wrong and move on to the next thing instead of spending all your time to, you know, trying to prove that you're right. I think because Catherine and I are brother and sister, it, I think, allows us to be a little bit more bold with each other and get there. I hope to be able to create an organization one day that has that kind of free speaking ability and that people understand that like, hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong and that's okay. And you can tell me. I don't think we're quite there yet because a lot of people are afraid to like speak up to the boss, but I hope to get there one day.
Yeah.
I think too that we all have the common goals, right? So because our goals are so big and we want growth so fast, that we have to make decisions quickly. So we can't be scared to be wrong. I have a lot of friends who call me and ponder on different ideas that they have for their businesses. And while you're pondering on the idea, I've implemented it or failed and retried three times over and failed three times while you're still thinking about it. I've got so much to work off of and made so many improvements. You'll never, ever catch up with me. And it's because I was wrong three times before I was right, before you did anything. So I'm not scared to be wrong. But, you know, a lot of times because Tom and I, we work together, I call him, hey, what kind of direction can you give me? And he gives me this, 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 and this. And then I make a decision based off all the intel that I've collected, which is, you know, a management skill that along this journey, Tom's helped me develop.
I think one piece that she just said there that's hard is that she asks me for advice and I give her like three or four things that are coming to my head on it, but then she has to make the decision. And that's a discussion we have a lot, which is, Catherine, this is your call. Here's what I would do. Now there's going to be a couple of times and I can't even think of any off the top of my head, but like where I have to say, no, we can't do that. It's like, you're going to, it's so critical on this piece. Like we can't screw this up, but that's so rare. That like most of the time it's like, hey, I think you're wrong. I think this is a really bad idea. Here's the reasons why, but it's your call. You've got to step back as the leader and let the manager make their decision. Because keep in mind, it's their bonus that's on the line.
That's right.
It's their equity that's on the line too.
Yep.
You can't make all the decisions for them and then blame them when things don't go right. Yeah. You know? And there's sometimes Catherine's in a position where she's bold enough to sometimes when I tell her, I think this is a really bad idea. Here's why. And she still makes the same decision anyway. after taking my input. And sometimes she's right, because sometimes she just had the gut feeling and makes the call. But you got to have that GM that's not afraid to stand by their convictions and say, hey, you know, right is right, and I'm going to do it. I took the input. I listened to it. I was open-minded, but I still need to make this decision and pull it off.
And I have a really, really good case study. And since you're on here, you can help me, because there's a story you were telling Chad and like all of us in our LSD peer group call about your sister making a call with one of her top, with the top sales guy. Guys, something like $5 to $7 million, something like that. And like you were scared about like, you know, some of this. Like, this is a perfect example of her making a call, right?
We've been our top sales guy for like 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah. And so I want Catherine to share the story, because like, if you think about losing your top salesperson selling that kind of money, you're like, oh my, like you start to get anxiety and all the things happen and like, what am I going to do? But, also being toxic in a workplace is what kind of value do you put on that? Like there's also a value to having that being spread around. Like so I want you to tell our listeners who've probably been in a similar situation before, and you know, or in it maybe now, but you know, you had to not only deal with the top sales guy, but then the second salesperson under him, and trying to build up his self-belief and value and what he or she can accomplish. Like, tell that story, because when Tom was telling us in that, you know, that group, you know, it was like a typical Tom Howard story. It took like 30 minutes for him to tell it, set up, but it was actually really, really good. And I remembered it. And that's whenever I was meeting, I saw Tom like a few weeks ago down here in Phoenix. I was like, dude, I want to ask your sister about this and have her tell that story, because I think it's important for the listeners to understand, one, like you go to your top sales guy selling that much, who's not making the meetings, like, you know, the meetings, like, to me, that's disrespectful. And it shows a lack of respect for everybody else who's also saying, well, why does he get to miss it and I don't? You know, there's some, and then that can impact leadership, right? Like losing trust in leadership. Mm-hmm. But you had to go in and manage that person, you know, either to fix it or manage them out. That happens sometimes too. But then you also had to go to another one of your salesperson who's also a good producer and also like pep talk. I'm like, tell us that story on how that went down and what did you do to like resolve that situation to get the outcome that you did.
When I initially got here, you asked me some questions earlier about what did you do first, and I pointed towards the culture. And one of the most important things that you can do is identify who's on your team, and they need to be the high performers and the people who really matter. And the numbers don't exactly reflect that if they haven't had a high performance environment. You have to identify the high performers. So when I had come in and I wasn't received well initially, in fact, our highest performer at the time, highest performing sales person, had quit prior to me arriving. So he had already said, Tom's bringing his sister in. She doesn't know whatever. I don't know what his reasons were. Actually, he didn't say them to my face. So he had quit before I got here. He wasn't up for the changes. And like I told you, one of the biggest things is you have to let them know what we're doing right now is going to change. We're going to make some changes. So we're stronger.
Before you became GM, but you were in charge of revenue by that point.
No, he quit. Remember, he quit right before I got here. He quit because someone else showed up first. And then he was like, I'm not sticking around for this change. So he left. And so he was like, he had given us 2 weeks and was in process of being out. And so number two salesman wanted to have a meeting with me. And it was out of genuine intentions, because this individual is a high performer who I wanted on my team. And he wanted to tell me all the things that the whole company was doing wrong that had driven this number one salesperson out of our organization. And I was like, oh gosh, here we go. Let's go hear what we're doing wrong. And so I had
keep in mind, there's like several people in this meeting, not just him. And this isn't a one.
No, it was him. It was him, our number two residential. It was our head of commercial sales at the time, who I let go rather quickly after that as well. And our acting GM at the time, who is now our director of HR. So we're having this meeting to hear what we're doing wrong. And he says all of these list of things he had prepared. And that is why the top salesperson left. What are you going to do? And I sat there and I thought about it, because I'm not going to do anything about your list. I already know what we need to do, all of this stuff. And this is somebody who I wanted on my team, right? And that's where you have to identify. So many business owners look at the revenue and are like, we cannot live without that person. But you can, okay? If you have high They'll rise up.
Let me give one piece of context here. We lost $480,000 like 2 months before this.
In September. Yes, they know. You, Tom, lost more money than ever in September.
It was our worst month on company record. And now you got this sales guy coming in. And I'm just thinking in my head, as I'm hearing this story, thinking, I can't wait till she just rips this guy's head off. Like, I just can't. I just want to tell her, like, have her tell him like it is. You're the one. We're part of the problem. Screw you. Get out of here. But anyway, and that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting to hear that. But go ahead.
No, but from my perspective in leadership, this is someone I want on my team. And in this situation where you're coming into a losing failure environment and you need to turn people into winners, your communication is critical to them. So I sat and I thought about it and I looked at him confused and I said, I don't think that my brother, because he kept saying, you need to tell your brother. I said, I don't think my brother feels like he lost his top salesperson. So I disregarded all of his list and all of this bullshit he was telling me about how screwed up we were and everything we needed to fix, and focused on the fact that he thought we lost a top performer and we didn't. And as soon as I looked at him, he just looked at me. I said, sir, do you remember when this happened? This is someone who's been with Lee's for 18 years now. Do you remember this? Do you remember this? Remember when you were with Tom and COVID happened and we lost all those commercials? Remember this? And he starts thinking about it. He goes, you know what, Catherine? I think you're right. That salesman was no good anyhow. You know, and that's really where it comes. There was another sales organization, which I wasn't sure which story you were going to go to, Chris, when you went with this. When I first took over the service department in Las Vegas, I had number one service salesman. He had sold like $300,000 in August, which, okay, I understand, that's great, but I needed them to be better, right? I needed to lift him up. My whole job, right, is to manage human behavior to drive positive performance, the results that I'm looking for. And he starts going off on me in front of the whole service team when I have no HVAC experience and I'm new in this position and there's no other women doing it in Las Vegas. And he says, well, listen, lady, I'm number one around here and I'm doing pretty well. You see me, August, I was number one around here, so I don't probably need you. I'm just gonna do my thing, okay? That's what he said.
He said that in front of the whole team.
Now, Chris, remember I told you I have a network marketing organization and we sell these little packages of drinks that you mix with your water and they put you into ketosis, okay? But I sell a lot of them. So I'm looking at him in front of the team and I said, you know what? Your skills are exceptional. You sold $350,000 in August. But listen, sir, I personally sold more than that online in my spare time in weight loss drinks, and I'm fat, than you sold in air conditioning in August. So excuse me, but I think there might be some room for improvement. You want to know what? Give me 60 days. He came in that night after his shift. He said, okay, fine, lady. What do you got? Tell me what you got. And I said, okay, let's do it. And I worked very closely with him building his sales strategy. And by November in service, he sold $750,000, more than 100% increase in 60 days. And I didn't even know anything about HVAC. I was in school at the time.
Great story. That was fantastic.
But it's the same management principle. You have to manage high performers. And I pride myself on being a preferred leader of high performance salespeople.
Yeah, I love that you said you got to manage human behavior. That is the game. And you also have to understand how they receive the information too, right? That's also important because you can say the same thing to, you know, different people and, you know, they take the same thing. Different people take it, you know, different ways. Man, that was awesome. Tom, I actually worked out that you were on here too to be able to kind of fill in some of the gaps. Didn't even know about the Vegas story, but I know you had Buckley there too. But having Buckley there too was fantastic. That dude's he's ridiculous. Like Brent's awesome. And a tremendous salesperson, but it's a cool story to be like, you know, looking at the value of the person is more than just the revenue of the person. I know that's harder to digest for some people based on your position, you know, or your thing, but that is how you have to look at it. Right. And so you saw something different than Tom saw in that, you know, the real best, you know, salesperson, and we're able to kind of turn that thing around. And what a way to kind of like put the pin in the balloon by saying, you know, listen, we didn't lose our best salesperson, because that person's thinking like, oh, well, you just flipped the script on them, you know, and a little bit of self-belief, you know, and probably a little bit of change. So I commend you for doing that. It takes a lot of, I would say balls, but not near this. So it takes a lot of nerve to be able to pull off, you know, that kind of move and do it, but it's necessary. And look at like the short term, you know, like the success the business is having, and then obviously where you guys are going too. And it's, you know, it's a fun story to tell, you know, it's in it, like we're like, I think 50 minutes into this podcast episode already. And it's one of those things that fly by, because the stories are the fun stuff, right? Like everybody's got them in their business, and it's what makes it exciting. It's just opening up and telling like the hard stories, you know, or something that might embarrass you if you care. But like I said, right in the beginning, Tom, you weren't on here. I said, your sister gives zero fucks about, like, I think what somebody thinks about her, because she believes so much in herself. And so, if you haven't been able to tell by now, listeners, she's pretty wide open, right? And, I love that. Like, it is a colorful conversation, but it's good. Like, it's not just lip service. You're actually like doing the things. And, you know, Tom has always, you know, said, good things about you to me or to us or to any of our, you know, anybody who's in my friend group. And I see why. And I told him that, like, I got a glimpse of that at Home Service Freedom just by the way you held, like, you conducted yourself. I think something I appreciate about you that frustrated me initially about you that you don't know is, I'm saying this like live, right? This is live. Is that I'm not like pro women anything. I'm just pro people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, dude, Catherine's like, man, I'm going to be, it's a women, fuck men. It's not what it is. It's, you know, and Anna's very much like, I have these conversations with her. She's a badass leader. Like, you've got to meet, you're like, she's legit. And she doesn't care who it is. She's like, put the best person in the seat. It just so happened that previously it was a lot of men. And now it's just women are added to, or capable of doing it anyway. It's just now more women are putting themselves into positions to be those leaders and examples in the industry. And I'm for that, by the way. I'm all for that in anything. Doesn't matter. I've got three girls, one boy. Like, I'm for it. So, but when I listened to you on that panel, I started to understand more the why behind, like, your, you know, like where you're at. So, so it gave me meant to, like, you know, appreciate, you know, what you're, you know, I still thought, man, she's a little batshit crazy, but she knows her stuff. Right.
We all think that.
I embrace it. Actually, it keeps people on their toes.
It's like that Luke Combs song, Beautiful Crazy. Like, I was just at Luke Combs concert and I'm like, man, Anna, there's part of the song that really makes me think about you. And she's like, sweet, there's the couch. Piece of shit. So, hey, I got to know. Okay, well, because we got to wrap this thing up in like the next like 10 minutes. I want to, well, first off, Chad, we didn't give you a chance to speak. And when Tom's on here, nobody really has a chance to speak. So if you have anything you want to ask, or can I move on to my next question?
You move on to your next question, Chris. Oh, I want to interrupt your flow.
Thank you, Chad. Okay, so, you know, we were talking about, I think you were talking about maybe electric and roofing and some of the stuff being newer. But what I'm really curious about is, you know, where are you, like, you mentioned 70 million. Some people don't understand what, like, can't even, like, they don't know what that means. Like, you know, there's nothing to it. It's just a number. It's just a number out there that you threw out there that to them means nothing. What are you trying to accomplish with this business? Like, what are you trying to do with Lee's? Is there like an end goal? Like, you know, you talked about wanting to go to the Philippines and just hang out there, you know, like,
yeah, I'm gonna answer this one. I got this, Tom.
I want to know, and then I want Tom to disagree with whatever he needs to disagree with, and then you guys hash it out.
All right. So I know I've already talked about this before, that you know, our industry, September and October were really hard. 2023 was really hard, I think, for a lot of people. And I already discussed that I strongly believe, through my research and observation in the industry, that it's a change in consumer purchasing behavior. We've seen a massive increase in inflation. The wages aren't rising that fast. Their purchasing behavior is different. They're watching the interest, all of those types of things. And we need to have different strategies, because clean water anywhere in this country, air conditioning in the desert or heat in Indiana is a life or death situation. And so these are restricted trades, and they're trades, they're services that Americans depend on to survive. The same way that they depend on the emergency room to be open when they need it, the same way that they depend on the police to answer the phone when they call, they depend on electricity, they depend on clean water, and they depend on heating and air. What we're seeing is that the people running a lot of these companies are not building sustainable businesses, okay? Forbes just put out a study that skilled labor is at all-time lows, and this is something that's going to be a problem for every single American for the next 10 years, because you can't train a plumber today and have him ready next year. It takes 5 to 10 years for them to learn everything, right? So these are services that Americans depend on, that business owners need to build businesses that are going to be healthy and sustainable. Right? So we are looking at Lee's, we're looking at the economy, we're looking at our current strategy and operations, and we're doing the really hard work and making the shifts and the changes that we need to do to build a business that has a good profit margin, to put away money in the bank, to make sure we make it through whatever the American economy is going to face over the next 40 years. And we're able to provide California residents with clean water and the heating and air and any other essential services that they depend on. And we want to do it better than anyone else. And that means that we need to charge for it, and we need to make a profit. And we need to do that to be a healthy organization and serve the people of California. Does that mean that business owners make money? Absolutely.
I felt like I actually would have seen that. And then this is, or this commercial is supported by XYZ.
But that's what we're doing. My whole team knows we are driving up revenue. We are growing as fast as we can. We are acquiring customers. We are converting sales. We are increasing revenue at the most profitable rates we can, because that's what we have to do to provide these services to the people who depend on them for the next 40 years. And the companies that aren't doing it, they're not going to be able to provide these services, and Americans will suffer.
So high level, you're focused on the service, not the revenue.
Of course.
Because the revenue will follow the service, right?
1,000,000%. I'm on a mission to make sure that Lee's is sustainable. This is a serious problem I don't think most Americans are aware of. We run out of plumbers, we run out of clean water, people die. That's the case. And I know people complain about prices. We have very high prices. Guess what? When you go and get heart surgery, which is an essential service that you need, they charge you whatever price they want. We're not a charity. We're not obligated to be low priced. We live in America. It's a market economy, and skilled labor is at the lowest supply that it's ever been. Yet every single American feels entitled to electricity and a roof over their head and clean water and cold air and heat when they need it. So I want to build a company that's going to last forever. And if I'm going to have consumers that support me because they need me and they depend on me.
You got my vote. You got my vote. Fuck it. We're good. You got
it. Admin for president.
You never hear somebody looking for an attorney. Let's say they're going into a lawsuit and they're getting sued. I need to go shop around to find the cheapest attorney I can. No one does that. No one goes to find the cheapest doctor they can. No one, like, why? It's not even if it's your health, just attorneys. Like, you don't go try to find the cheapest person. Your financial advisor. You don't look for the cheapest financial advisor on the block. I mean, why? Because it's important. So why do you go find the cheapest plumber? Which, by the way, if they don't, you know, solder your pipes properly, you're going to flood your entire house or get mold and everything else and destroy everything. Your kids are sick and everything else. And oh, you don't put the backflow preventer in properly, so now people in your house are sick or whatever. I mean, your toilet's not flushing it. Like, all kinds of stuff that's wrong. But people want to find the cheapest one. They want to go out and find the cheapest thing. And Catherine's obviously figured out that, like, that's just not the game we're going to
business
play.
Owners are doing their community a disservice by not running a profitable business. Point blank, period. They will not sustain, and those people will not have the services that they need.
That's going to be a great social clip, by the way, right there. Go ahead and make a little notch on that one. Whoever's listening to this right now, who's going to edit this for me, make that one a clip. Nice. Thanks, guys. That's fantastic. Hey, listen, I love having you both on here. I love both of your passion for the industry and like your insight. I mean, Catherine could literally run for political office somewhere with that whole spiel. That was awesome. And you know what? I think that part of it is, you know, when somebody's listening to you is hearing you say it or believing that you mean it. You know, it's two different things. And when you say it, I believe you mean it, right? And I think that you genuinely are trying to serve first. And by the way, I wasn't saying like, you know, we don't pay attention to or we're not worried about money. We're certainly worried about money. You have to be. I'm just saying that is the byproduct of actually you focusing on the service, right? And the people and doing those things. Like that is the byproduct of what comes with that is money. And it's
filthy rich. Who knew you could be a plumber and get hundreds of millions of dollars? I'm out here to tell you all you can.
I mean, just meet our good friend Ishmael. That's all the motivation that you need right there. He'll tell you if he can do it, anybody can do it. But I was just saying, you know, I appreciate, you know, both you and Tom, I appreciate you hop on here. I knew that was kind of like, if you could, cool. If not, great. But I knew it helped the story. And I'm glad you hopped in right before I was able to tell the salesperson story. It was interesting, but I think both you two have a real gift to help other people too. And a lot of experience behind it, but two different paths. Like you said, you know, we've learned that Catherine is better than Tom. If we ask Tom, Tom is better than Catherine. But Dan, your mom's got to be proud because you two have accomplished some really cool shit. And she's definitely clearly smart because she is a Boilermaker. So, you know, got our vote there. But I appreciate
both our parents were actually.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. I think you told. I knew about one. I didn't know about both. That's awesome. Yeah,
they're both from Indiana too, Hobart and Chesterton.
Just like Chad and I'm just a couple of boys who, you know, built the roofing business just to serve the folks of Central Indiana. Well, I'm excited to follow the journey. Your guys is, you know, the new roofing addition, all that kind of stuff. Obviously we all kind of play in that space a little bit. So just the story overall, but I'm curious to also to Catherine to see, you know, when I see you at, are you going to go to, if you're going to go to Home Service Freedom in San Diego, mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, I think all of us are there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be curious to kind of see what progress you've made, you know, in the next few months.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting next few months. This is our game time right now. Just started.
Yeah, no shit. Thank God. I was just saying on one of our group, our text threads, like I was looking at the client or the lead. We have a full client leaderboard or lead board where I could see all installs coming in, all service calls coming in. And it certainly was nice to see a massive bump in the install leads coming through over these last few weeks. Thank God. But you're right. Time to make hay.
That's right.
Any last parting words from you, Chad, or are you just going to go and work on your next hip hop song?
No, I don't. Hats off to you both. Catherine, it's great talking to you. I think you hit the nail on the head with the culture piece and making sure that in your company, you've got that right. Because if you can't get anybody to buy into your vision, you're going to struggle to build something really special. So again, hats off and awesome stuff.
Yeah. And I'll go ahead and finish with how appropriate he said hats off with his leaves. Right. Hats on up. There it is. Represented, but listen, like to our listeners, you know, all this stuff too. It's, you know, Catherine didn't go and get some college education, learn like, no, she just learned real life stuff. Tom went and traveled all over the damn world and learned different shit, two completely different paths. So you're listening right now. Maybe you had to bootstrap business together. Maybe you just got a GED. It doesn't matter. Like it's, I would argue and say it's definitely more about the mental toughness, mental fortitude of just, you know, thinking about it, but then actually doing the things, you know, and how you get there. You can end up at the same place on multiple different paths, but just fucking do something, right? Don't be afraid to try and do things and change it and do whatever and ask all the questions and ask for help. And don't be afraid to get information from your employees, even if it differs from what you believe is to be correct, as long as they come to you respectfully and with solutions and some reasoning behind why you think you're doing X, Y, Z wrong. And you may have listened to Catherine talking about, hey, I don't care what that list says, because it wasn't about the things on the list. He was missing the point as a salesperson of what his value really is. Those things on the list were nitpicking shit that he didn't need to be paying attention to anyhow. He was forgetting the main thing, and that's he's 100% capable of doing the job as soon as he changed his brain a little bit and the way he thought about himself and what he could do in the business. And that happens often, by the way. I think that you guys probably experience a lot of that stuff. And especially if you're in any form of leadership, those are things that you're dealing with constantly, is trying to pay attention to the human being and where they at, how do they envision them, how they view themselves, and are they passionate about what they're doing? Like, you can change the mindset game. It's not an easy fix. you know, but there's certainly a lot of ways you can do that. Sometimes it's just around getting around the right people, you know, and figuring out what to do. But if nothing else, you need to just sit and maybe work on yourself a little bit. That's okay too. I think we've all kind of went through that in different phases on like, I got to get out of this, you know, this funk and like, and refocus. And that's okay too. I think we go through that in different phases of business and different trials and shit. Like 2023 would certainly challenge somebody, you know, on am I capable of continuing to do this or not? But you got a lot of options. And I think that, I know Tom has, you know, always made himself super accessible, you know, to people to be helpful. And I appreciate that. And Catherine, I'm not sure if you're comfortable with sharing or whatever, but where can somebody connect with you if they want to be able to ask you questions or lean on you or anything like that?
Catherine Howard at leesair.com or on Facebook or Instagram. I'm Catherine Elizabeth.
Please follow Catherine on Facebook for entertainment value. You will really thank me for that. And I promise you, you listen to this like she knows her shit. So please do that. I appreciate you guys so much. Chatty P, I always appreciate you chiming in. Well played on the Lee's hat. To our listeners, you know, got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.
All right.
Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.